You know, folks, in what I do, I am so blessed to go year-round preaching the Word of God. But this time of the year, as you know, is much more challenging. It was a lot more difficult to get to the place of preaching than it normally would be. I usually would take like 3 hours, 20 minutes to get where the camp is, but I took like 5.5 hours, and rightly so. There was snow and ice. I left from Muncie, Indiana, and it was a challenge getting out of there, but it got even as much challenging or more so when I got up into that region where the camp is located. You know, when I don't arrive where I'm supposed to arrive, it messes up my agenda. Y'all with me on that? I mean, there have been many flights that the airplane didn't land where it was supposed to land. You think that would be like once in a lifetime experience, but I've had that happen over and over again. And who knows where my luggage ends up? That's just part of what I do. But do you understand, in our spiritual lives, if we don't land where God would have us to land, we're going to mess up His agenda. Now, through all this trial and tribulation I've been dealing with, and hopefully in a God-honoring fashion over the past 3 years, I hope I have landed in a clear representation to accomplish again God's agenda like it's supposed to be accomplished. Get your Bibles out this morning, please, if you would, and turn to the book of James. This has been so helpful, so encouraging, and so convicting to me in the midst of my trials and tribulations. And again, folks, I don't care what I'm involved with, what circumstances I'm faced with, I want to land where God would have me to land. Now, where might that be? Look with me at James chapter 1 and verse 2. And here's a very clear, straight up, understandable statement. It says, "My brethren," verse 2, "count it all joy." That's the right response. That's the right testimony to make a right impact for God's honor and God's glory. But here's the question we all have to ask ourselves: how do I get there? And how do I make sure I stay there? Because if you're setting forth a testimony of anger or bitterness, or just live in a constant state of depression and discouragement, you know what you've become by your own choosing. You become dysfunctional to the will and the working of God. Now, folks, I love my God, and I don't have the words to explain how much I love my God. But I'm so thankful He doesn't leave us in doubt or question on how to land where He would have us to land. And very clear instruction set forth here in James chapter 1. And if you're a note taker, this is going to be pretty easy and obvious for you to set down and again set forth the outline that's being given today. Because what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to give you 4 imperatives that we could say are imperative or necessary for us to land where God would have us to land and to fulfill the right impacting testimony that God longs to see through all of our lives. You know, we can put on a pretty good show when we come to church, can't we? You know, we can get the right clothes on, and we know when to smile. We know when to say amen. We know how to make Pastor Harper think we really know the words of the song by moving our mouths. I watch some of you. And, you know, we know how to play the program. And, again, many times set forth a testimony of just flat-out hypocrisy. Because we're not where God would have us to be. We're not functioning faithfully through the power and working of God because we've been detached from that wherewithal by our own carnal, worldly, or really hopeless thinking and choices of life. So let's go down through this passage of Scripture here. And folks, again, a lot of teaching in the midst of preaching here. But look down with me again at James chapter 1 and verse 2. And let's just go through this blessed, again, passage of Scripture and let God be a blessing and encouragement to our hearts. First of all, this count it all joy. Of course, the word we're going here after is the word count. Now, this is not optional. This is God's will. This is a command. And it's not based on our personalities or our feelings or our circumstances. No, folks, this is just as much God's will, God's expectation for you and me as that rejoice in the Lord verse. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. What does that mean? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, I know this many times is set forth based on your preferences or probably more so your personality, but some don't do real good at this. Because there's some folks that just like to look like a sad Sally or sad Charlie or whatever you are, because you like people to give attention to you in the midst of woe is me. How selfish and unbiblical you have chosen to be. Now, folks, you don't have to be happy, happy, sappy, sappy, you know, all the time and kind of look like one of those people on Christian television. You don't have to do that, but you know what? You do need to set forth an unquestionable, heart understanding and relationship with Jesus that brings forth, because of that relationship, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Is it depressing to you like it is to me when you get around that certain person as all they do is woe is me instead of God is so good? Which one do you want to go on vacation with? The woe is me? No, God is so good. So you choose to be that type of person. Now, the word count means to evaluate. It's an accounting term. And folks, what God's after is that we evaluate everything we are and everything we do biblically. And the determinant factor of where you will land in your response will be in conjunction to what you know of God to be and what God would have done through the blessed Word of God. And here's where we get the snag in the process. Because when you don't have a biblical perspective, a biblical accounting, it really distorts your value system. It really messes up what you know and should know as far as true value and worth. Let me give you a good statement that I found. Our values determine our evaluations. If we love comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and the physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we only live for the present and forget the future, then trials will make us bitter and not better. Now, this is an old statement, but still a good one. Outlook determines outcome. And we see the right kind of testimony through Job, who again had more woes and troubles than we'll ever know in our life existence. But what does he say in Job 23 and verse 10? But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, I used to think Ron Hambleton came up with that, okay, people? But wow, it's in the Word of God. You know what? That can be the perspective of you. If you look at things, evaluate things from God's perspective. So, Brother Maynard, how do I do that? It seems beyond me to respond in that fashion. Well, that's the next imperative. Look back with me at this passage to verse 3. Let me read the whole verse here as far as verse 2. My brethren, count it, circle that word, count it all joy. And here's another word to circle. I did this in my Bible on purpose. The word when. Count it all joy when, not if. No, oh boy, no, it's going to happen. You're going to get your teeth kicked in somewhere along the way. You're going to have heartbreak and disappointed. Count it all joy. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus, not maybe, but shall suffer persecution. It's going to come. Don't go, well, God doesn't love me. No, God loves you. And God, because of his love, knows this stuff's going to hit you in the face. And there, in turn, he gives you what it takes to land where he would have you land. And count it all joy. And we don't land there, folks, because we go according to our agenda, our emotions, our whatever, instead of, again, looking unto Jesus. So the next imperative is the word know. And that's what's delivered here. It says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation. And then it says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, of course, we know God through the blessed Word of God. Where does that relationship of understanding come about? Through salvation in Christ Jesus. That's where, through the Holy Spirit of God, the awakening comes to mind and heart concerning the true God from on high. And again, brings the revelation of understanding to your life of this blessed book, the heart, the love letter of our wonderful God. So you know God through the Bible. You start this understanding relationship through salvation as you know Jesus through the blessed truths and promises of the Word of God. But here's where the problem lies today. And it's just not a problem with teenagers. Most people choose, you listening? Choose to be ignorant and immature of the Word of God. Now, I tell you what, when I get sick, is your husband this way? When I get sick, leave me alone. I don't want to be with people. I don't want to be given to rejoice. I just want to go to my room, go to sleep, and leave me alone. Can you imagine? Mr. Joe Friendly Mike Maynard hates people when he's sick. Yeah, and you know what? It's not that I try to do that. Just my flesh seems to just take over, overwhelm me, and wants to do its selfish thing. And you know what? I ask God for deliverance, but what God delivers us from any sin? Get your head out of yourself and the world and other things and get your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. But I didn't really want to read, but I did anyway. I really didn't want to study the Word of God because I did not feel good. You know, I can become a nasty guy in a hurry just like anybody else. But folks, what delivers us from that fleshly whatever? It's the blessed Word of God. And as I tried to teach your young people all week long, it's not a half-hearted effort. With the whole heart, we challenge, and I preach from Psalm 119, I challenge you to read that passage somewhere this week, because over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, it says, with a whole heart. Your all, your want to, oh, I must delightfully approach the Word of God so I can know my God better and I can serve Him more faithfully. The problem I see as I do evangelism around this globe is immaturity of believers and ignorance of who God is because today of the unfaithfulness in knowing God through His Word. So what is it we're missing? When we bypass faithfulness to this blessed book, we forget this, that God is perfect, and we're nowhere close. Secondly, that He loves us with a perfect love. Nobody else does that. My wife loves me. My grandkids, they think I'm near perfect. That's why I have my daughter has, she has 8 children right now, and she's going to have number 9 in March. You know, I say bring them on because I don't have that many people that love me as much as they love me. I mean, it's a selfish endeavor. It'll probably kill my daughter, but you know what? So be she goes to glory. I get to be loved by my grandchildren just unconditionally. They think I'm the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And, of course, you kids know I'm pretty close, right? You learned that different. But, again, folks, the more you spend time with God, the more you know Him, and the more you'll be wowed. And it won't be so difficult to love Him with your whole heart because He is perfect. He loves you with a perfect love. He only brings what's needed and best for us. Here's another good statement. God tests us to bring out the best, but Satan, boy, he's on the attack. He tempts us to bring out the worst. But folks, we got a choice, don't we? What counsel are you going to listen to? Who's going to, again, have your ear, which will impact your brain, and again, direct your heart choices? Well, if you're smart, as smart should be, You're going to attune your ear, your heart, your life to a perfect God who only looks to bring what's needed and best for you and me. And here's a blessed promise. He will never leave us or forsake us. You know, it's hard not to be a whiny pants, isn't it? You know, when you're coming through Christmas, you spent too much. You know, maybe you got the plastic out when you should have cut it up. You know, and now you're under the gun as far as paying bills, and the work's not like, unless you're working the trailer business. I think I'm going to come up here and start working in the factories. But, you know, you just kind of get that nervous, hey, I can fix it thing. You know, I love my pastor, but I had trouble recently not being bitter toward him. Now, here I am. I've been working, you know, for quite a while. This is the only, as Brother Lehman said yesterday, the only gig that I have this month is with you people. So, he, you know, the pressure's there. And I want to fix it because I am Mike Maynard. I am strong. I am powerful. I am spiritual and wonderful to behold. I want to do the midlife crisis man thing and fix what's broken. You know what my pastor said the other day? I just want to slap him. I just want to slap him reverently, but I want to slap the guy. He goes up, he starts on Wednesday night. I'm there, you know, you're backslidden if you're not there on Wednesday night. Hint, hint, hint. And so what happens, he starts talking about how we approach certain difficulties and circumstances. And you know what he had the nerve to say? He says, when you're a nervous wreck about circumstances and what's going on, you've got a God complex. I said, what? You're full of yourself. You're trying to play God. You're trying to fix it so you can go, ain't I good? Wow, you want to hear how I got out of this mess? But what kind of humility, what kind of yieldedness, what kind of understanding you have when God's the one that fixes what's broken? When you know, even if you get a good idea of what needs to be done, who are you going to give the credit to? So again, I just wanted to slap him. Because it convicted me to head to toe, because I was one nervous wreck trying to figure out, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Instead of going, God, go God, go God, get it done. Praise God, so I can exalt the name of Jesus. You know, I have a lot of co-laborers in evangelism that I don't like the way they proceed, because they are kind of whiny pants. You know, they, I'm not against GoFundMe pages, but when you're wanting to buy, you know, maybe some more ice cream and you do a GoFundMe page, I don't think that's real spiritual. You with me here? So I like to be surprised by the Holy Spirit of God. I was surprised during December, where God met my need and nobody else knew that I had that need except my wife. Isn't that fun? But some of you will never experience that because you don't give God an opportunity to intervene on your behalf, because you don't know Him like you should know Him, because He can and you can, and you're missing the blessed relationship in Jesus when you just don't yield to let God do what only God can do and what He should be doing in your heart and life. Here's the promise that is such a blessing and an encouragement to me, I hope to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I have an amen? He will never leave us, folks, nor forsake us. Yeah, they do. They might. He will. She will. But Jesus never fails. That's your God. And that's the God who promises to even meet your need. So folks, a key factor, again, of landing where God would have you to land is to, you know, evaluate things biblically, but know what this biblical stuff is all about, to know your God better, and even more so in this new year that God has entrusted unto us. So why is God allowing us to go through this stuff in our lives? Well, as it says in this passage, to grow us up spiritually, to bring forth patience, which literally means endurance, and that endurance to live faithfully and productively, faithful to honor and glorify God. So, conclusion on this point. When you know God and His Word, you can understand and respond rightly to this kind of truth from the Word of God that's sometimes a head scratcher. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Boy, that's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? That it's not all about you or me, but it's all about what He would have done. So how come folks who really know better, and I would say most here know better, so how come folks that know better still don't count it all joy? Well, that's the next imperative in the verse that follows. Look down with me at chapter 1 and verse 4 and circle the word let. This let stuff deals with that submissive mindset that most of us buck. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, that's mature, grown up, mature in the situation and factors of life, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This is simply, again, the maturing process of God. Because God wants you to grow up and not do His will, His working, because you have to, or Pastor Harper will ride you like a dirty shirt. I know who He is. I know who your leader is and what happens. Yeah, you know what? Because He loves you, He don't want you to miss the blessing. But folks, shouldn't you be doing the will of God from the heart? Shouldn't you? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we wake up every day and say, oh, today I get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know what? I can't do it, but I can do it through His power and wherewithal. God is so good. And folks, He truly is. But you kind of miss that factor of truth when you're focused on yourself instead of being focused on Him. Here's another good statement. The mature Christian does not argue with God's will. You want to stop there and have an invitation? Let me say it again. The mature Christian does not argue with God's will. Instead, he accepts it willingly and obeys it joyfully. Now, you're pretty close by. Go to chapter 4 of this same passage, would you, real quick? Whenever I do a junior camp, I always start junior camp with these verses. And some of your young'uns have been challenged with this passage up at Camp Kobiak when I was there with them several years ago. But look what it says here. It says in chapter 4 and verse 7, there's three things being dealt with here. First of all, the submission thing, the yieldedness to God's control. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. What does that mean? Here it is, folks. To give yourself over, to place yourself under the controlling hand of God. Now that sounds real, wowing, theologically correct, but it's a hard thing to put in practice as we battle between the flesh and the spirit. But folks, it doesn't work right unless God is in charge. So give yourself over. On purpose, place yourself under the controlling hand and power of God. Then what happens? The devil comes after you like nobody's business. Anytime you choose to do what's right and he's alert to that choice, he's going to do all he can to distract you and deter you from faithfulness. You've been there, done that? Look what happens next. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resisting, folks, is not based in your power or your wherewithal. It's based in the wherewithal and power of God. Because the devil can whoop you. The devil's smarter than you. The devil understands more than you have a clue about as far as all this God-given faithfulness stuff is. That's why he's so good at what he does. But be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. This illustration I always do with the kids. I bring up the biggest galoot I could find. You know, one of the sponsors or youth pastors. And I bring them up and I find the squirreliest little kid known to mankind. I won't go here. And they come over and I bring this kid up. I said, here's the dumb thing when you say, come on, devil. I'm going to take you down. I say, you're going to die. You're doomed as doom can be. So what I do with the kid, I said, this is dumb. And then I put him behind the big guy who's representing God. I said, this is smart. Because you're going to go down if you do it yourself. But if you do it through God, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. When do I suffer and experience defeat? When Mike Maynard tries to do it in and of himself, and you've experienced the same thing. Folks, the devil can clean your ever-loving clock, but he can't whoop our God. So let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So submit, put yourself under the control of God on purpose 24/7. Then as the devil comes after you, don't be dumb enough to try to fight him in and of yourself. Resist the devil, he will flee. And what a blessed opportunity. Draw nigh to God. Wow. He'll draw nigh to you. Here's a statement worth writing down in your Bible. I'm as close to God as I choose to be. Isn't that a great statement? I got that. I heard Rene Willett preach this passage 100 years ago, and he made that statement. It's never gone from my mind. I'm as close to God as I choose to be. Would you say that with Mr. Rogers here? Let's go. I'm as close to God as I choose to be. Just the balcony, just the balcony. Wake up first. Let's go. Ready? I'm as blow them out of the water, folks. Down on the floor, let's hear it. I'm as close to God as I choose to be. And folks, three elements, key factors in this successful program: submit, resist, and draw. Go back to chapter one. Let's finish this out. Now, we're here to go according to God's agenda, count it all joy. It involves count, know, let. But let's go to the last one here, which is ask. It involves ask. That deals with a believing heart. Let me read several verses here and follow along, starting in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him, there's the word to circle, ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Spike, what does upbraideth not mean? Ask a layman if you don't know. What does upbraideth not mean? Layman, do you know, or do you need to go talk to your mother? Okay. God doesn't hold back, folks. God's got enough to go around for all eternity. But what is the problem with any knowledge or understanding concerning our God? You have not because, yeah, you really don't think you need to be bothered with that kind of information because you already got your act together. Oh, are you in a heap of trouble? Are you going to suffer the consequences of your own foolish, fleshly reasoning? Keep reading the passage. It says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God to give God to give it to all men liberally and doesn't hold back, upbraideth not. And here's the promise. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven and with the wind tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Folks, we don't have to be clueless. We don't have to play the Christian guessing game. God wants you to know him. God wants to reveal his will to you through the word of God. But will we be smart enough? Will we be diligent enough? Will we be humble enough to say, God, I need to know what you think. If I'm going to be successful, I can't do this and shoot Tonto. You know, the Lone Ranger, high riding off into the sunset. No, I can't do this in and of myself. But I can be faithful, God. As you unveil your truth unto me, you give me understanding to make right choices that again will help me to accomplish your agenda. And truly, God, through whatever is taking place in my life, I can be the testimony that, God, you would have all of us to be. And that's to count it all joy. Now, I've got several statements about wisdom here. I just want to conclude with these statements here. I don't even have a recognition where I got these. I've known them so long, I'm not sure where they came from. Here's one. Knowledge is the ability to take things apart, while wisdom is the ability to put them together. I like that. Here's another one. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Another good one. We need wisdom so we'll not miss the opportunities that God has given us to mature. And I kind of added this. So we won't miss the opportunities to fulfill faithfully His will. But probably my simplest favorite definition of wisdom is this. Is Pastor Stockard. He's our assistant pastor at Faith and Taylor's in the Greenville area. He said it's just God's mind in the matter. Just God's mind in the matter. Why do you need that? So you can count. And again, then let and ask. And again, have the whole program of faithful working of God in your heart and through your life. And you can again be a part of God's agenda. Be the testimony that's usable for the glory and honor of God. No matter what's kicking you in the teeth. No matter how many slats are missing out of your fence. You can have this kind of testimony. And what is God's will for our lives? Count it all joy. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, I could probably go on the rest of the day giving you illustrations of people I've ministered to who didn't go here and didn't do this. But I also, in conjunction with that, can give you just blessed testimonies of right choosing. Now, folks, most of you here have been there and done that as far as Christianity is concerned, and you've got some stories of your own to tell. But what kind of story is your life telling? What kind of agenda or what agenda are you looking and you are a part of and being faithful unto? If it's not God's agenda, God's not pleased with who and what you are. So why have you gone there and why are you doing that? You know, it possibly could be because you don't know my Jesus is your Savior. You know about Him, you love Him, but you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. Guess why God brought you here today? So you could know that Jesus is your personal Savior. Isn't God so good to you and me? So shove your pride aside, any other excuse, and simply today humble yourself before God and know Jesus today for sure as your personal Savior. But I'd say the majority of people here, you're confident in your relationship with Jesus. It's not a guess. It's a no-so relationship. What's your testimony? What's your representation at work in your neighborhood? What's even your testimony in this church? Are you landing where God would have you to land? Or are you basing who you are on your personality preferences or circumstances of life? Folks, we're supposed to set that aside as being, in a sense, insignificant in conjunction or comparison to what God would have done. And folks, you heard real clear what God's after. He wants you, not just me, not just pastor, not just that wacko fanatic friend of yours. No, He wants you to have a testimony of count it all joy.